maintenance bill is too high. We are paying too much for this.
What?
Welcome
you
back
ain't paying
to the
nothing
show.
For this.
Well, there's a situation going on at home.
Uh-oh.
We talked about this yesterday a little bit.
Are we going to your house this time?
We're going to my house. Come on over. I have some pastries that I need you to eat because I don't have a lot of self-control.
Okay.
So have a pastry, sit down, and listen to the tale of my boyfriend talking about the utility bill.
Oh, God.
You might think that's a high price for eating pastry.
Yeah, frankly.
Trust me,
but wait a minute. We just yesterday talked for the listener who wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah.
You were having some issues
with
the way that... Oh, gosh. Now I forgot how we even got on that topic.
Well, everyone has their obsession with like really
hyper focusing. Oh, when to turn on the AC.
When to turn on the AC, when to turn on the heat. You know, on Saturday, I thought it was pretty hot in the house and I should have just turned on the air because he said, you can turn it on if you want to. But then I remembered how much he focuses on the electricity bill and how it's high and he can't believe how high it is and that they got a new meter and all this stuff. And so I hear about that so much, I thought, I'm not going to turn that on.
You were internalizing it and like, I don't want to ruffle the feathers, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
However,
I had.
You didn't.
Yeah, I spoke about it to thousands of people on the air.
Yeah. So
or
how'd
maybe
that go?
15. I don't know. He didn't listen, obviously, because when I came home, I walked in.
Okay.
Well, he's very sweet. He comes down and gets my bags out of the car.
Yeah, this is a man who, by the way, gets her bags out of the car every day.
He comes to greet me. Yeah. So
it's adorable.
Now we go upstairs and he goes, guess what? I go, what? I think like maybe.
Maybe he got you some. We're going on a trip.
Or something. He goes, the utility bill went up by $70. And I started smiling. I go, oh, yeah? I'm like, oh, yeah? I thought, clearly he didn't listen today.
Or maybe he did, and he's like, I'm going to poke
but
this bear.
It was
hey,
like,
you know our utility bill went up $70, lady?
And I'm like, oh, really? It did? Okay, what happened? And he goes, I don't know, but it's ridiculous. And I'm just trying to think. I'm racking my brain. Are we taking too long of showers? And
okay,
then
wait,
I was smiling, and then I went, oh, my face dropped, because I'm like, is this a subtle hint for me not to take as long of a shower? But I don't think he's that kind of guy. But I internalize it, and I think,
did you
maybe
ask him?
No.
Like, what are you, like, did you, so you didn't say, like, is that a problem?
Because if I did, he would go, oh, my God, take as long of a shower as you want. I know how the conversation would go, but.
So then why did he bring it up, I wonder?
He brought it up because he drives him crazy that the utilities and the electricity.
When you say utilities, are we talking about like so the water bill is higher?
I guess so. Utilities are.
And I'm assuming
like
that's what
gas.
Although it could be the gas bill, because the gas bill could be, I don't know if you have gas water heater.
Yes.
Because some people have electric.
I don't know.
Some people have electric. So that would be the thing I would nail, like hone in on. Is he talking about the electric bill, the gas bill, the water bill?
He's talking about not the electric bill because that's separate. And I didn't even know that.
So then your water is probably heated with natural gas. Do you have a gas oven?
No, we have an electric.
That doesn't mean anything. You probably still have gas.
Yeah,
water.
Somewhere. Yeah. But I didn't even know. I go, so this is more added on to the whatever, almost 400. He goes, no, it's separate. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that you.
So is he telling you there's like a rate increase that you're about to get?
There's a rate increase. It has been increased by $70.
No, I'm saying like he's telling you as like a heads up, like, I just want you to know the bill's going to be higher this month.
Not for me to take care of.
Oh. Oh.
Because I am paying a basic price.
Oh.
Because he pays in advance somehow. Like they give do you know what I'm talking about? Like there's an estimate of what you think and then you pay all year this estimate or something.
Sure.
And then the estimate goes up because it's like this happened.
Okay. So you've already fixed your price with him.
Yeah. But then I thought, should I pay more? I mean, is that what he's talking about?
I don't know.
I think
that's
it just drives him crazy, obviously. And I don't know what my response is supposed to be. I thought this is how dumb I am. I thought that it was all together, electricity and gas and water and trash and all of that stuff. Trash, well, I think, is taken care of by our association.
No, yeah. I mean, it just, yeah. I get it. Like, you don't think about it. But, like, I'm assuming because you don't see the bills come in every month.
I don't see the bill.
And he might not even get paper bills anymore because nobody really does that. We don't get paper bills.
No.
So I never see that. Jamie does. He pays the bills.
Yeah.
And I just go, yep, there you go.
Yeah.
What do you need?
True. But I just, it made me laugh because I shouldn't have laughed. But we had just talked about how obsessed he is with the electricity bill.
Yeah.
And so everything else is going up. And my question is, do you think I should just say, I'm going to pay you more every month? Because you obviously are upset about these bills being higher.
If he's not asking you to pay more, I wouldn't be offering.
Yeah, but then what
unless that's what he's done in the past. Like, I don't know how you guys do your bills. So if this is a regular behavior, he says, oh, by the way, this has gone up.
No.
Then you go, okay, so I've add this much.
Yeah. I've offered to pay more. And he goes, no, I'm not going to make you pay more. I have two other people that live here.
Yeah.
His kids live there. So I'm a fourth, really. But then again, they're not there all the time. I don't know what's going on. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do to fix his problem.
Yeah.
Maybe he just wants to vent
about
it.
That's a great question. He might just want to vent. He might just want to, like, let it out. And maybe you don't have to do anything. Maybe you can just be there.
But it isn't taking shorter showers because I'm not doing that.
No. There's absolutely no reason for you to do that.
Do you know how many things I have to do?
Do you take long showers?
Yes.
Why?
Because I have to shave my entire legs. Oh, okay. I have to wash my hair twice.
So did you
and then
feel like this was a pointed thing at you because you do take long showers?
Well, it could be a passive aggressive thing. Like, I wonder if we are taking, because I can
Is
tell
you. Is he passive aggressive like that?
No, not normally.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm just like, is this a signal to me? Because I know his kids, since they're teen boys, they turn on the shower for 3 minutes. And then it's like, sometimes he says, did you use shampoo? Do you no, I don't use shampoo. Yeah. And he's like, why? I buy it for you. Use shampoo.
Yeah.
So I am the one in the house that takes the longest shower.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's being passive aggressive.
I just don't want to sacrifice my shower.
Why would you?
Ugh.
Yeah, there's no need.
What should I do? Put a sign in my yard that says, like, we're really mad about the utility bill.
A sign in your yard?
I don't know. Should I go to the city council meeting for him?
To protest your utilities going up? It'd be interesting to see if your usage has gone up. That's what I would look at.
Yeah.
Versus the rate. Because sometimes rates go up.
That's true. Everything's gone up.
Yeah.
Everyone.
I wouldn't be surprised at that. Well, I don't know. It sounds like you should do some follow-up questions.
I'm going to find out the usage.
Find out how, if
it's riveting, I know.
Yeah, no, ask him. Because the more you understand where he's coming from, I think the better you'll.
True. Well, I will ask him and I'll say, tell me about
Mike, you have any insights for her?
No, I do, though, think that having that conversation of whether it's a vent or whether you want help is very important.
Oh, God.
I recently discovered that in my marriage.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I am a fixer. And as soon as I hear of an issue, I'm
then
like, this is what we're
going to
do. And this is what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to do. And then I soon realize this is a vent situation. So I'll sit down.
You want a fixer. Yeah.
Exactly. She'll start talking and I'll just be like, and I'll listen, and then I'll be like, is this a vent, or is this, you want to talk it out? And she'll be like, this is a vent, and then I just sit back.
I like that.
And listen
so
for
maybe
another 5 minutes.
Just ask him that.
Yeah, because most of the time I would say it's the reverse. Like, men in general want to fix things, you know? And I don't think that's a bad thing. They just want to, they hear it, and they're like, what's the solution? And then women, I think, like to vent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, maybe do a follow-up. Maybe he likes to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, when we come back here on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, from Dawn's water pressure to Taylor Swift's new album. Mike,
yes,
no pressure, but we have questions for you because I don't know if you know this. I know you know this.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift has a new album coming out, and we're going to talk about it when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1. Hey, my talkers, Bradley here for my good friends at Dakota Dental. I want you to do me a favor right now. Head over to DakotaDental.com. Make an appointment for your regular checkup if you haven't done so already. I know life gets busy and whatever. So let's just take a moment today, get that off the list, and then you'll be that much closer to getting some of the best dental care in the Twin Cities. That's been my experience consistently for years as I have been a patient at Dakota Dental. And I have visited a number of the dentists there. I've had several experiences from those regular checkups and cleanings, teeth whitening, fillings, crowns, and yes, even including dental implants. My dental implant journey was amazing. I could not be more grateful to Dakota Dental for giving me the smile that I've always deserved. And you can have that same experience. You just have to take the first step. Head over to DakotaDental.com today. And don't forget to tell them Bradley sent you.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Welcome back to the show. There's big news coming up for Taylor Swift fans. This Thursday, tomorrow, you will be delighted to some treats of audible pleasure. That would be Taylor Swift's new album.
Is it at midnight tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's basically Friday.
Oh,
early it's super late, Friday. But I imagine Mike's going to be staying up late to download the track.
No? Probably goes, not.
Mm. Oh, you don't think?
No, it'll still be there in the morning.
All right.
I'm old now. Sleep is so much more valuable.
I remember when Lemonade got dropped.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite midnight, but I think it was pretty late at night. And I remember staying up to watch the whole thing because... If you'll remember, Lemonade, not only were all the was all the music dropped,
yeah.
but this sort of like video movie, like, well, video movie, you know what I'm saying? Like a album movie
sure.
was dropped at the same time. Okay, well, so you're not going to stay up, but on Friday morning, you will start furiously downloading her latest album. And I thought, we have to check in with Mike, because on the station, other than Britney, I don't know of anyone who is more of a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a Swift fan as I pretend to be when Colleen is here.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. I really do. I'm getting into it.
Yeah, yeah. But I wanted to check with Mike because, again, as like probably, again, the number one fan, I want to hear how you're feeling about this because it is clear that fans everywhere are freaking out collectively in this moment. There's also like this pop-up thing that we can talk about.
Yeah.
But from like a fan perspective... How are you feeling about Tortured Poets Department?
I think it's going to be fascinating. It obviously sounds like it's very much going to be in this pop-up that we'll talk about here in a second. Seems to continue to just kind of give a nod to it's most likely going to be about the relationship with Joe Alwyn, which I think many people are kind of surprised that it went for 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, if you weren't tied into it, even Sarah was like, wait a minute, they dated for 6 years?
That's
like,
a long time.
The pandemic was a huge part of that, too, where it was, you know, the lockdown part.
But it was also very private.
And it was very private. And there's maybe some debate on how much they were actually together.
It was real.
And how real it was.
Well, I say, before people started drinking the Kool-Aid on this station, we used to talk about the publationship of Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn.
Yeah.
I'm being mildly facetious. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think fans are thinking too well. Some fans are probably thinking a lot about what's really going on with her relationship and how genuine it was with him. But I think you're the kind of fan that's probably more excited about the music itself.
Definitely. Yeah. She's got some, we know the album, obviously the track list and things like that. We know she's going to be having a song with Florence and the Machine and also one with Post Malone. So those I think could be pretty awesome. But I was excited. And then I saw this pop-up and I got even more excited.
Okay, so let's talk about this pop-up. So, and there's some Easter eggs in here. So as I was reading through it, there are some lyrics that were put up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all of this designed to get people talking, to get people speculating, literally lines wrapped around the block. You could take your photo with this thing. I think this was Spotify.
It was like a fake library that was all gray, right?
Yeah, so like a big library with like a card catalog and you could take photos. But within there, there were some lyrics that were carved out. Trying to get what those... let's see, which one was that? Do-do-do, the lyrics. Oh, it's something about a statue. Like if you let a statue sit too long, it'll crack.
Mm-hmm. Birds will poop on it.
Birds, well, yeah, that...
that's just my thoughts.
Even just, statues, if they or even statues crumble if they're made to wait.
Yeah. So they've got a few little lyrics like this that are like tantalizing people.
Plus, there's the card catalog that you mentioned, because this is the library theme. There are 72 drawers in the card catalog.
Oh, not really? That you were counting.
He's 72 songs.
Well, no, 72 represents 72. That's the number of months in 6 years. They were together for 6 years.
Ah!
Now, six of those drawers were open, and coming out of six of those drawers were wedding invitations. So basically, like each year they were together, this could have happened.
Mm. Oh,
but
my
it never
God.
Did.
So Long London was one of the songs that's listed on that track list. So, this is going to be very okay. Can I?
Yeah.
So, as a fan, you're excited.
I am. And again, this would be such a fun thing to experience because, again, there are so many. We just mentioned like three of the Easter eggs. There's a globe and there's a pin of Florida in there. Now, the track that they're doing with Florence and the Machine, that she's doing with Florence and the Machine, is called Florida with like four exclamation points.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's where her tour started. It's also the first time she went on tour after the breakup was announced.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things. There's clocks set at 2. Some people are saying that means she might do a double album release and we might get Reputation Taylor's version on Friday morning as well, which would just blow everybody's mind. There are so many different things. There's a bird that's sitting outside of its cage because now it's free.
Oh, she's free.
What I love about this is like, I just want to honor the people that made this happen.
Yeah.
Because as much of it, I'm sure Taylor had like some of a hand in it, right? Like she was like, what if we did this? But I just imagine there is a whole army of people behind the scenes that are like, well, we have to have six card catalogs that are open in order to symbolize. Like, you know that this is a machine again that's making all this happen. And I just want to marvel at the power and the resources that they're marshaling for this album.
Taylor Swift is 100 people.
Yeah, at least.
Now,
right?
I wouldn't say that she didn't have all the ideas because she's super creative and writes these lyrics. I have to go back to the statue.
Yeah.
So even a statue, if it's made to wait,
even statues crumble if they're made to wait.
So
basically
she's the
saying
statue.
She was waiting.
She was waiting. A proposal,
mm-hmm.
And it never happened because he was too busy with his buddies, Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal.
Really, those two guys are his buddies?
Well, they were in this tortured poets department.
That's
or
right. Which is just like they were commiserating over their relationship.
What was it actually called?
The Tortured
Boyfriends. That's the name of the album.
Club.
The Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah, but they had that was a riff, right?
Got it.
On
they would commiserate over their relationships
because
they were with famous girls.
God, I know like actual Taylor Swift fans. Not that you're not, Mike, but I'm saying like
no, I don't know.
Ones with all of the details are like
it's okay, we're working it out and
they're like, you guys don't even know what you're talking about. Tortured Man Club.
A Tortured Man Club. There you go.
Paul Mescal, Andrew Scott. And so a lot of those Easter eggs revolve around what that could be.
There was another Easter egg where it actually has Friday, December 13th laid out as a date. And people will be like, wait a minute. Well, that's obviously her birthday, but she was born on a Wednesday. And
it says Friday.
But it says
but if you
Friday.
Do the math.
And if you look ahead, this December 13th
it's Friday.
Falls on a Friday. So that also might be when we get the Reputation Taylor's version. So there are a lot of different things we could go with.
Okay, so much. It's exciting.
It is exciting.
We're going to need a full report Friday when you come in. If you've had a chance to listen to everything at that point.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, if you're fans, we'd love to hear from you as well. But when we come back here on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, Dawn is going to interpret your dreams.
Unless you're Taylor Swift. I can't do it.
Why?
It's too complicated.
And she's an alien.
Are you getting good sleep at night? Well, I hope you are. Maybe you're disturbed by your dreams, but hopefully you get some insight today from this segment. Let's talk about dreams.
Why don't you tell me about your dream? I was back in high school, and I was supposed to take a test.
I was making it work again.
I was driving my car, and I couldn't control it.
Then I fell off a cliff with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Do you know what this dream means?
Dreamweaver Dawn. Dreamweaver Dawn.
Hey, Dawn, you ready for some dreams?
Yes.
Good, because I got some for you from listeners. Listeners, if you want to submit your own dream, stay tuned, and you too might be so lucky. All right, let's go to Harold. Wow, that's a name you don't hear much anymore. I like that name. Harold.
Yes.
Hey, Harold. Thanks for sending your email. Harold says, Dear Dawn, it starts with my dog escaping from the house and runs off. Around the corner, I hear dogs growling and fighting. I run around the corner only to see another dog laying on the ground, wounded. And another dog across the street growling and fighting other dogs. So many dogs. I'm in the middle of the street calling out for my dog. Dog! And notice a lion in a doghouse looking directly at me. It starts charging towards me and I run into the right of the lion. I run to the right, rather, of the lion. I don't look back to see it was running across the street to be fed by hand by someone. Meanwhile, I call out to my dog again. And he comes out of the neighbor's house across the street. Funny thing is, I don't own a dog.
Bum, bum, bum. But wow. You do have habits that you nurture, which is what this dream is all about. So animals in general are your habits. Now, I want to just preface this by saying habits aren't just bad habits. We always think of them as, oh, I have a habit of, I don't know, biting my nails or smoking or whatever it is. Those are sort of things that you're probably not dreaming about. You're probably dreaming about habitual ways of thinking. So this is, it doesn't matter that you don't have a dog. Like, because
I hate this.
Yeah, this way that
hot dog that I eat.
Yeah, yeah, no, maybe. I mean, that could be. Maybe you compulsively eat and that's a habit. Maybe. I don't know.
I hate my sister.
Oh, sure. That's a mental habit. That's, yeah, that's deep.
Okay.
Well, Harold, you could be dreaming about, I think you're dreaming about this habit that you nurture. This is something that you, you know, spend time nurturing. And I don't know what that is. You have to determine that. And then there's a wounded dog. So this is also a habit that you don't want to change. So there's two habits here that are the main focus. And then there's other random dogs that are fighting. So you got a lot of habits within yourself that you're trying to manage. And as everybody's life progresses and moves on, you usually let go of certain habits because you might have worked through things that where you don't need them anymore.
Okay.
So maybe you could be holding on to old things that you used to do or think about. And now it's gotten to the point where there are so many things in your day that you have to do a certain way that they feel like they're sort of, you know, fighting with each other. Mm. There's not enough time.
Your habits are fighting.
Yeah, your habits are fighting. So it could be just a habitual way of thinking or, you know, very rigid thinking. And then you also want to be a free person and have independence from these thoughts that are probably feeling like they're colliding with the others. So then there comes the lion, which is a different kind of animal. That is an animal that you would probably be threatened by, that it was going to kill you.
Unless you were like Siegfried.
Yeah,
exactly. Although, well, yeah. Well, that was too Roy. Soon.
Yeah.
It's not too soon. They're both not with us any longer.
It's not.
I did get to meet Siegfried.
You did?
At the Mirage. Yeah, I have a photo. Jamie and I were just bebopping around at the casino at the Mirage.
No way.
And went to the lion exhibit or the big cat exhibit that they have. And he was just hanging out. We were like, oh, my God, it's you. And he's like, I know, it's me. And we got a photo.
And he's Count Dracula's. Well, that's all of my accents. Oh, that's very cool. Okay, so this lion, except for Siegfried and Roy, most people, because he's staring at you menacingly from a doghouse. So this is like, that's something where that's the big habit that is threatening to change you. And that's the one where you're like, I got to get control of that.
Okay.
Because that's the real scary thing. I thought it was these other things, but then there's this big overall problem.
That's the clip in your toenails at work.
Yeah. Harold, come on. So you run from that because you're afraid of change, internal change. But you get your doggy and everything's fine. Then there's this neighbor, which you could just pass by that. But actually, there's a neighbor that is feeding the lion. So in your dream, you have recognized that you are sort of supporting that really scary habit that you have. There's a part of you that's nurturing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hope that's not too much for you to digest, Harold, but start thinking about the habits you have. It could be like, I have to do things in this order, or just habitual ways of thinking. I would focus on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Harold. And stop being a big habitual thinker. Now, when we move along here to our next email, we are going to hear from a lady named Susan Dawn, and she sends the following. Dear Dawn, I had a dream that I would love explained. I am an OR nurse and dreamt that I was in the OR and there were raccoons in the ceiling. Everyone,
that's not very sterile, Susan.
No, everyone acted like it was business as usual as I was trying to catch the raccoons.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this has to do with, we're not really going to focus on the fact that it's an operating room, even though if it was someone, like, let's say it was somebody who was not an OR nurse dreaming about an operating room, that would be different. But since this is your job, you are dreaming about how productive you are. So it's about your productivity, and a whole bunch of people within you, the other nurses and doctors in the room, are acting like it's no big deal. But there's a certain part of you that's really bothered about this wild side that you have, that's a habit, and you're trying to like manage that with that one person, the conscious part of you. But there are a whole bunch of other people that are a part of you that are like, it's not a big deal. So Susan, in your conscious life, I think you might be hyper focusing on something you do that distracts you from your productivity. That could be when you sit down to, brains are very dramatic. I always say this. The day before something happened, when you dreamt this, it could be that, you know, you're supposed to mow your lawn or do your laundry. But every time that comes up, you're like, I'm going to go to the grocery store, or I'm going to go do this. And then you're like, I have this looming thing.
Yeah.
It's just about productivity in general.
Okay.
It could be you're trying to start a new business or whatever it is, but that is what we're talking about.
Stop beating yourself up.
And it makes you, it's like wild, the wild part of you.
The raccoon part.
Yeah.
The one that washes its own food in a puddle.
Yeah. And then puts its hands up whenever you scare it. Like,
and then goes
running. Hold them up. Yeah.
Or tries to, you know, knock over a garbage can at 3 a.m. Susan, I hope that was helpful. If not, I'm sorry. Hey, do you want to do another email?
Yeah, another dream, I think is good.
Okay, Brenda says, Dear Dawn, I dreamt about buying a house that needs a lot of work, and the previous owners keep coming back to life. It's still their house. Oh, like it's still their house. I thought they came back to life like they were dead.
No.
The owners keep coming back like it's still their house. I had to yell at them, get out, and tell them not to come back. Also, I have many dreams of selling my house and regretting it. I'm moving in a couple months and have been planning this for 2 years.
Okay.
That's so Brenda.
Brenda doesn't have anything to do with your actually selling your actual house. This has to do with your frame of mind, because that's what houses are in your dream. And there are different levels of mind. We have our conscious, our subconscious, and our superconscious mind. And there are all levels of our house. You're just dreaming about your frame of mind in general,
okay,
which, you know, we can have, those can change, you know.
Yeah.
It could be the one you're most familiar with. But you feel like these other people that coming back that used to own the house, that is actually just mental habits that you used to have. And I know there aren't any animals in here, but it's a mental frame of mind that you used to be, like a part of yourself that's like, I used to be, I don't know, somebody that the most important thing in your life was going out to party, and now you're not that person.
Yeah.
So you feel like that old way of thinking and that old person within you is going to come back and threaten this new stuff that you have going on in your life.
Okay.
And then when it talks about whenever you dream about selling your house and you have remorse, I think that you contemplate the transitions that you have in your life more than others do. Like, it's just hard for you to let go things that used to happen to you and who you are now and who you will become. So some people kind of move through that with ease, and there's no right or wrong. It's not a judgment. It just means that, you know, this transition in life for you, you're really internalizing it to a point where it's probably not helpful for you because it's causing you stress.
Yeah. So let it go, honey.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's good.
Thank you for all of your emails. Dawn, if you want listeners to send you a dream, where do they do that?
Go to mytalk1071.com, find The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn listed under shows, and click on email. Put dreams in the subject line, and also keep it to about a paragraph. All of these were great.
Fabulous. Dear listeners, thank you. When we come back, beef. We need some ideas.
About it's what's
beef.
For dinner.
Beef, it is what's for, it was what was my for my dinner last night. I'm going to tell you about it, but I need some ideas, some more beefy tips, if you will. beef, just the tips when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.
You ate beef tips.
Moo.
And I'm fascinated to hear this story.
You're fascinated by my beef tips.
I am.
I didn't make beef tips.
You made a meal that was from scratch. And I'm fascinated by that. Now you actually have questions for listeners.
Yeah, so I had beef last night. It's what's for dinner.
Yep.
A flank steak. And I thought, oh my God, I completely forgot how fun, easy, and delicious flank steak is. And I thought, you know, I bet there are other sort of easy beef dishes out there that people are like, oh God, we make this like all the time. Because I, you know, like other than a steak and like ground beef and some roasts, but I'm talking like a weeknight meal, not like a weekend put it in the crock pot kind of thing. I guess you could do that during the week. I'm talking about like quick beef meals. 651-641-1071. Really just all bets are off the beef, Dawn. I just want some beef tips. So we made a flank steak last night, super easy. And we were talking about this before the show. You just make a marinade, put it in a Ziploc, and then it's like 4 or 5 minutes each side in cast iron.
When you say that, are you cooking it in the stove?
Yeah. Cast iron on the stovetop.
Oh, on the stovetop, not in the oven.
No, you don't have to.
Stove oven.
If it's thin enough, you can just cook it on the stovetop.
Okay.
Sometimes if it is super thick, I will sear it on the stovetop and then shove it in the oven for a few minutes just to get it to temperature. Because, again, flank steak doesn't take that long. You just want to get it up to like medium.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from on the cow.
I don't either. I don't know where a flank.
Is this a side? A flank?
I don't know.
Your flank?
Sure.
Over here?
Maybe.
Next to your ribs?
Could be. but super easy. Like you literally just slice it and it is super, super yummy and tasty. I just had some leftover potatoes that I served it with. It was real good.
Which means you made another meal.
Well, that was from a couple weeks ago. I made scallop potatoes. Remember when we were having our whole potato fetish thing?
Sure.
We were just obsessed with potato dishes.
Did you freeze it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause it's easy, you know.
I am like in a kindergarten class when it comes to cooking. And you're advanced.
I think
you're getting your thesis.
Fascinating because I don't feel that way about my cooking habits. I feel pretty basic myself. Yeah. But I will say flank steak is really easy. You don't have to have any skill.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a good cast iron skillet and a thermometer.
Okay.
And you probably don't even need that. Like you can slice it open to see if it's done. But do we have anyone on the phone, Mike, or someone?
We certainly do. We're going to start with Bonnie. We got a bunch of callers.
Oh, good.
Start with Bonnie.
It's what's on the phone. Hey, Bonnie, what's your beef tip?
Okay, if you forget to defrost any meat and you got an Instapot, you can make a pot roast that's even frozen in 45 minutes.
I don't doubt it. Have you done this before?
I have many times, and it saved me.
Okay, so now tell me the extra layer of that. Do you put like any veggies in?
Oh, yeah, so like obviously potatoes and carrots and onions, and then you do like 4 bouillon cubes and a packet of the ranch seasoning.
Oh, I like the ranch seasoning idea. That's clever. And then maybe just put like a couple cups of water or something.
Yeah, like around the side of the meat. You're good to go.
Oh God! And you said 45 minutes.
45 minutes frozen.
Oh, yeah, my God.
If it's thawed, it's less than that.
All right.
See, what about the pressure release?
Dawn gets scared by
I'm scared of the Instapot. I don't know.
Do you just let it release naturally?
10 minutes. Yeah, the natural 10 minutes. And then you just do the bell.
For the other 30 minutes?
No, 30 seconds.
No, after the cooking time is done.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, after, yeah. So you set it. Uh-huh. You set it and you forget it.
Okay. You set it, forget it. And when the timer goes off, let it sit for another 10, then flip the valve. Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, no.
So she is right. And I will say I have done frozen turkey breast, frozen pot roast. I've done ribs in the Instant Pot. Takes no time at all. Yeah. And then you can sometimes finish it on a grill or finish it under the broiler if you want to crisp it up a little bit.
Okay.
But that's a good idea. Mike, who else do we have?
We got Maddie on the line.
Maddie's on the phone. Maddie, what's your beef tip, honey?
Hello, my friends. I do flat iron steaks quite a bit.
Okay. I don't know what that piece of meat is, so tell me about it.
Okay, so it's like an inch to an inch and a half, but if you sear it on the stove and then just stick it under the broiler for a couple minutes,
okay,
it is really, really good. I would suggest marinating it the night before.
Oh, okay.
But they're so good, and they're an inexpensive cut of beef.
And do you just get this from, like, this is a dumb question, but do you get it from, like, a butcher, or is there, like, a store in town that you get it from? Because I don't see that cut very often.
Walmart.
Oh God. Okay.
I know. All right. you don't think about it, but they're wonderful.
All right.
I mean, they're fantastic.
Flat iron steak. Marinate it, stick it on sear it, and then stick it in the oven.
And then throw it in the oven and just broil it for about 10 minutes. Not even. It depends on how you want your steak.
Maddie, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, I love it. I love good cuts of meat that I'm not familiar with because you see them sometimes and you're like, I don't know what to do with that, Dawn.
Yeah, because maybe your mom or dad didn't do it.
Yeah.
Do we eat meat that our parents cooked?
Well, I'm sure
mostly?
We're Are you asking me? Yes.
I'm just in society.
I don't know. You answer the question. Are you eating the meat that your mom made?
I guess I'm not eating hardly any meat because I don't know what to do with it.
All right, let's go to Kirsten. She's going to tell us what to do. Kirsten, sweetie, what are we doing with our beef?
Well, you can kind of cook the flank steak, or like that other person was just saying, a thinner cut of steak. And it sounds simple. It's a salad, but it's one of the best salads I've ever had. And you use like a spring mix, and then you cut up mango.
Ooh.
And what? Brown real quick, just brown up some chopped cashews.
What?
And lay the steak over it, and then you can use a vinaigrette or honey mustard, you know, a lighter.
Yeah.
And it's so, seriously, it's one of those where I just keep going back for more.
Yeah.
The crunch, the salt, the sweet, it's delicious.
I love this.
Do you have a restaurant?
No.
Oh my God, actually, you're just cooking at home.
Yeah, my husband's a really good cook too, but I had to go gluten-free, dairy-free, all that because of health thing. And so I got all these cool recipes that I never would have tried.
No, I love that. So you basically did the flank steak first, and then you took a bed of spring mix, put some mango and the cashews on there. You toasted the cashews in the skillet.
Yep. No, delicious. And
I love it.
So good.
I love it, sweetie. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for that recipe. And I will tell you, here's another hot tip. When she said that nuts, I like to toast. I've just started buying raw nuts, and then I toast like a sheet pan of nuts, and then I just keep them in the pantry.
You keep adding to things that you do when it comes to cooking.
It literally takes 10
minutes.
Everything
you say takes 10 minutes.
It does, though. And so then you have a thing of, and I'm telling you, there's something about roasting your own nuts.
God, this is so great.
It's so good.
This is so great.
And then you can make nut butter.
You're so into food.
Mike, you know that
you know
your way around a piece of beef. Do you have any hot beef tips for us?
Well, I'm going back to the nuts because I was actually known as the
nut man,
the roasted almond guy, because when I went on the first date with Sarah, she came back to my place and I cooked for her. And when I cooked I made a salad and I candied my own walnuts. And he was like, oh, it's the candied walnut guy. Like if he's going that, you know, to that level, then something's going on, but it was good.
Oh my God.
I was always the candied walnut guy until I actually got my name.
Well, until you actually got your name,
mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Well, until you actually started calling me my name, I was just the candied walnut guy until I met him, basically, in her family.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's that candied walnut guy.
That candied walnut guy. Mm-hmm.
He got her with
real
him.
Interested.
He got him with her. He got her with her. His.
Okay, well.
I can't talk now.
You just didn't want to say it.
nuts.
And now he has her his beef tips.
Bring us some candied walnuts?
Sure, if you'd want. Yeah.
What do? You put some sugar in a pan?
Yeah, just put sugar. Yep.
Shugs.
Did you make like a caramel sauce first and then plop the nuts in?
This was a while ago. There was a sauce first and then the nuts went into it. Yeah.
Probably
this
like
was
all part and sugar.
Of, It was part of a cranberry salad that I like to make.
Yeah.
Good
cranberry
Lord.
And feta salad.
I feel like...
Well, Dawn, can we just be honest with the audience? Like you are mostly cooking for yourself.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of have like your own, like the things that you love. So you
but
just kind of...
Yeah, I don't, I have to show you my grocery list sometimes. I don't know what to eat. Every day when I'm getting hungry at dinner time, I say, what am I going to eat?
Well, stick with us because
really
the audience.
I really need Olivia because of those recipes I've used. But other than that, I'm not very creative with thinking up things to do with
Well, here's the
food.
Thing. You don't have to be that creative. I am not that creative. I love recipes. So if people and techniques are actually for me a lot easier than a recipe. Like once you learn how to cook a flank steak, then you've got all sorts of creativity in that head of yours.
It's like there's this part where I don't want to do it though.
No, I get it. That's what they make ready-made meals for. Dawn, when we come back, thank you listeners, by the way, for your beef tips and Mike, your nut tips. We got to talk about the utilities. Why? It seems to be a recurring theme on the show, and I'll tell you why when we return on My Talk 107.1.